Cap Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In a little over a week, ballots will be mailed out to voters, and top of the ticket is California governor. The primary will narrow down the race from currently 8 candidates to the top 2, regardless of party. With such a crowded field, an election rite of passage has been difficult to lock down. Debates. But the political momentum is picking up, especially after Congressman Eric Swalwell's tumultuous exit from the race created a little more elbow room among Democrats. Last night, the leading 6 gubernatorial candidates took the stage for a televised debate. Republican Steve Hilton, Democrat Tom Steyer, Republican Chad Bianco, Democrat Javier Becerra, Democrat Katie Porter, and Democrat Matt Mahan. It was broadcast by the parent company Nexstar at stations across the state, including Fox 40. Nikki Lorenzo is an anchor at Fox 40 and host of Inside California Politics. She moderated the debate alongside KTLA anchor Frank Buckley and joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Great to be with you.
So you have joined us in the past. You have moderated many debates, and this is a pretty unusual race with so many candidates, 10 to start, now 8 on the ballot. What went into coordinating this debate? Was it more challenging because of the crowded field?
Yeah, it was. So initially, before the exit of Eric Swalwell, we had 5 candidates on the stage. And so after the scandal broke and those serious allegations came to light and the now former congressman and former gubernatorial candidate was not in the race anymore, Nexstar made the pretty unprecedented decision to re-poll because it was such a political earthquake. And so we decided to do that. And that resulted in Matt Mahan and Javier Becerra qualifying for the poll. And we were pretty surprised by Javier Becerra's numbers because, I mean, as you know, Vicky, you cover this stuff closely. Democrats, including the party chair, Rusty Hicks, has been calling for the single-digit candidates to drop out. And Javier Becerra was one of those candidates. So, you know, we had to go back to the drawing board and in thinking about the voters. You know, everyone's starting to pay attention to the race right now. And what happened to Eric Swalwell put even more of a spotlight on it. Especially with ballots going out. So we thought it was the best decision to invite more candidates. You know, the candidates themselves aren't usually in favor of something like that because we do have limited time. And in an hour, you know, 6 candidates on the stage, a lot of topics to get to. It's a tall order, I'll say.
Yeah, I know. I watched it last night. There was the hour and then the bonus 30 minutes on the streaming app. And it went by like a blink of an eye. 6 candidates. It goes by so fast. Just walk us through a little bit more about like that methodology from Nexstar, because all of the candidates were present with the exception of State Superintendent Tony Thurmond and former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. Is it just because they were polling more towards the bottom?
Yeah, so our threshold, it's fundraising, but also you have to be at 5% in our poll with Emerson College. That's who we partner with, and that's who does our polling. And so Antonio Villaraigosa was at 3%. Tony Thurmond, I believe, was at 2%. And our undecided was 23%. Betty Yee was still in the race when we did the poll. Obviously, she dropped out this past week. And so she was at 2% as well. So Antonio Villaraigosa was not able to make it into our debate because of that threshold being at 5%.
Having a night to sleep on it, what stood out to you from the debate?
You know, it's funny. We were, as we prepped for this and we had to go back to the drawing board and rework questions and format how we were going to do things with, you know, the extra candidates on the stage. You know, I, especially seeing out of nowhere, Javier Becerra, the former HHS secretary, seeing this surge. And it seemed from what the pundits have been saying, it was an organic surge. I mean, the big question after Eric Swalwell got out was where were his voters going to go? Katie Porter's team sent me some internal polling. So did Tom Steyer's team. And they were basically saying, they're going to us. Our polling says that. And potentially with the allegations against Swalwell, I thought that female voters would go over to Porter. So with the surge of Becerra, that really surprised a lot of people. So we thought, okay, you know, he is going to be the person that everyone's going to go after. And also he's going to have to get on the stage and show voters that he's surging for a reason. give voters a reason to take another look at him, because he really has not seen any momentum. He's had the big mo over the past couple of weeks, as we like to say, but or the past couple of days, I should say. And so, you know, the fact that the candidates didn't take more opportunities to go after him, that did surprise me. It was a lot more tame than I thought it was going to be. And my co-moderator, Frank Buckley, thought it was going to be. There was a couple of moments in there. And I also thought the two Republicans, they didn't really go after each other. You know, I've been told by strategists, Republican strategists, that they genuinely don't like each other. And so we thought there was going to be more fireworks between them. But really, and I know you've likely covered this story in the same vein too, that this race has kind of been sleepy and the candidates have been like a little blah. And so we thought that maybe this was going to be the moment that someone was going to have a breakout moment, and they really didn't.
Yeah, I mean, with the polling in the months leading up to the primary, I mean, there's a good chunk of undecided voters, you know, and we've had conversations about people just not being really like clocked in to the gubernatorial race with everything else going on in the country and the world and the news cycle. And debates, you know, they can kind of be like a job interview, right? You know, candidates are making the case to voters as why they're a good fit for the role. Did any candidate kind of stand out to you last night? I know it was a little more tame, but were there some moments that kind of like percolate up to the top?
You know, I thought that Mayor Matt Mahan, you know, did a good job of sort of introducing himself. There was a lot of excitement behind him and a lot of speculation. Is he going to run? Is he not going to run? You know, he's this moderate Democrat, but our voters, especially primary Democratic voters, looking for a moderate in California, especially when everything is about President Trump right now. You know, do they want that fighter that you see in like a Katie Porter or a Tom Steyer? But I think he did a good job just sort of being like, hey, you know, in this time where we're seeing a lot going on at the national level, and even here in California, where we're seeing these battles back and forth between, you know, the president and the current governor, you know, I thought he did a good job sort of presenting his record and presenting himself in a way. You know, I Steyer too, I think he had his moments of saying, look, I am the billionaire, but I'm the guy that's going to go after the billionaires. And I'm going to get in there in Sacramento, and we're going to see structural change in Sacramento. We're going to, you know, we're going to move away from the status quo. I thought those were a couple of notable moments. But again, you know, when you have the six candidates on the stage and you're in those time constraints, there's always, you know, comments afterwards, like, we didn't get to enough. I said, do you guys still want to be up there? We could still be up there right now doing the debate and be talking about high-speed rail. I would love to do that, but we have time constraints.
Yeah, and that gets me to the topics, because, you know, some of the big topics that you and the co-moderator covered, you know, the gas tax, affordability, homelessness, even potentially a ban on social media or screens for teenagers under 16. What went into the topics and the questions that you selected? Because there's so much to choose from.
Yeah. So this is something that, just to give you guys a little bit of a inside look on how the sausage is made, you know, I'm in Sacramento. So I, you know, I do the show every single week. So I'm in the weeds on the budget and high speed rail. And so my other members of my team, they want to zoom out a little bit and maybe focus on topics that you, especially affordability and gas prices, are very top of mind right now. And make it digestible in that way to the viewer. Not that, you know, high speed rail and funding for that is not important, but when you have to whittle things down to, you know, an hour on broadcast and then on streaming, and we wanted to get some viewer questions in, what are some things that haven't been discussed fully? And if we spend a few questions, or, you know, I think it was almost 20 minutes on gas tax and gas prices, that's something that people feel every single day. And so we really were trying to focus in on the person watching at home, how things, you know, affect them, and especially parents, you know, with the social media question. That's something that they're struggling with now. And we're seeing other countries, you know, enact bans. And we're seeing study after study of the effects of social media on the younger generation and how it's affecting society. So we figured that those would be topics that would be engaging to the viewer, and then trying to get those viewer questions in there that we picked at random. And we actually had a decent amount of questions. We probably could have done 45 minutes on just viewer questions.
Well, at least I like that level of engagement, you know, in a race that's been called sleepy. That's great that you received so many questions. I also found it interesting that on the topic of homelessness, I mean, that none of the Democratic candidates really, or they did shy away from criticizing Governor Newsom. I mean, of course, quick to criticize President Trump. But did that surprise you, especially on this topic?
Yeah, you know, so there's two ways to look at this. All of these Democrats right now are trying to walk this line of separating themselves, but also understanding, if you look at polling, that Governor Newsom among Democratic voters is popular. So they don't want to anger the governor and catch his ire because he hasn't endorsed in this race yet. So that was my view of it is, okay, you know, we'll maybe not give him, you know, an overall exemplary score. We'll criticize him a little bit. But also compliment him, but to the average voter who sees homelessness, you know, whether, you know, you can look at the data and the different numbers, and, you know, the governor has said when he came into office, there was no plan for homelessness. So he was starting at square one and trying to develop, you know, funding and infrastructure and how to help people and do it in a compassionate way. And so it's taken some time, and it, you know, the problem didn't start overnight. You can't solve it overnight. But to the average voter who is seeing this in their communities, they just want it taken care of. You know, they want individuals to get off the streets, get help, and they want to feel safe in their communities, and they want that to happen now. So when you're comparing what these candidates on stage are saying and then your lived experience, I feel like that fell flat to the average voter. And that's what we were seeing in a lot of the comments to the stories that were being posted. Our social media team was saying that was something that raised a lot of eyebrows among people watching.
In addition to, you know, all of these serious topics, I mean, you ended, and the fellow moderator, Frank Buckley, asking the candidates what was the last streaming show that they watched, I guess, for that inside baseball question. What role does a more personal question, pop culture question at that? Why is that, I guess, why did you want to include that in the debate?
So we're going through the debate, and obviously, you know, these people are fighting for their political lives. And with this race being so up in the air, they're looking for any opportunity for an edge and to take a shot at somebody. So we feel like this just sort of changes the tone. And it also gives the viewer a bit of a personal insight into who they are, you know, and softens things a little bit, lightens the mood, you could also say. And I will give you guys some insight. So we had a couple of questions, personal questions, but for timing reasons, we didn't get to them. So we were going to do your first concert, kind of gives people, you know, some insight into their music choices. And then another, we were kept at California-centric. We didn't get to this question. Your go-to In-N-Out order. and so it just kind of, you know, brings the temperature down in the room. And it just gives the voter a bit of an idea of who they are on a personal level, because there's always this authenticity question, like, who am I getting on the stage right now? You know, like, I mean, even there are a lot of social media posts about Tom Steyer's shoes. You know, he's the billionaire up there with the suit jacket and then the Nike Air Force Ones on. And so voters pick up on little things like that. And so it just gives us an opportunity to show a different side of them.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Fox 40 anchor and Inside California Politics host Nikki Lorenzo, who co-moderated last night's gubernatorial debate. So the morning after, there was also a spin room after the debate. What has the buzz been like? Do you think this moved the needle at all?
You know, I really think that voters are still where they were 24, 48 hours ago. I don't really think the candidates did a whole lot to distinguish themselves, separate themselves. I mean, Tom Steyer has the advantage as a self-funding billionaire to get his message out as much as he wants. And so he can continue to do that. But the others really, I don't think voters, you know, got a sense of, okay, maybe I'm going to take a look at that person after hearing their answers last night.
I mean, there are still, you know, several Democrats in the race, six Democrats. So it's still a pretty packed race. And there is that concern with, you know, the top two ticket that it could potentially be two Republicans with so many Democrats. Mm-hmm. Governor Newsom has yet to endorse earlier this week at a, you know, a kind of like a grouping of reporters at an event. You know, he said that he would endorse a Democrat, you know, but then asked if he was concerned about two Republicans advancing. He replied, absolutely not. Do you think Newsom would move the needle with an endorsement?
You know, I do think, again, the polling that we do with Emerson College, while voters will look at the issues and say, I don't feel like my, you know, I'm better off in terms of, you know, pocketbook issues, but they do like Gavin Newsom. And so I do think that a endorsement from Gavin Newsom would be huge. But also, Gavin Newsom is preparing, you know, as we all know, he hasn't said anything official yet, to run for president. So he can't put his endorsement behind a candidate, take that risk, and not have that candidate be successful. So he really needs to be sure about that. I truly do think that, you know, if he were to come out and endorse somebody, it would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, there's like indecision with both Democrats and Republicans. Both the California Democratic Party couldn't land on an endorsement at their annual convention. More recently, the California GOP did not land on an endorsement at their annual convention in San Diego, despite President Trump endorsing Steve Hilton. So what's going on with the Republican Party right now?
Yeah, and that's, I feel like that has been a storyline that's been overshadowed by all of this Eric Swalwell scandal and just the Democrats being in disarray. But yeah, I mean, for the president to come out and endorse and Steve Hilton to not immediately surge in the polls, and maybe other polls will show differently as people begin to tune in more. But for, you know, the party to, and the party, you know, normally is in lockstep with what's happening at the national level, especially with President Trump. We've seen that in years past, that the Trump-backed candidates have done well. There's been the other school of thought that when you look at, you know, party endorsements, that Betty Yee got the second spot at the California Democratic Convention. And so maybe that's not, you know, a good example of where voters are. But it's been interesting to see that there hasn't been a breakout between one of those candidates. And Steve Hilton, I've interviewed him a bunch of times, and he said a Republican has to get into the runoff. Like he never, I asked him point blank, I said, do you think two Republicans are going to advance to the after the June primary? He said, no. He goes, I just feel like, you know, the interest won't let that happen. And he's like, I think both of us staying in the race, meaning him and Chad Bianco, we run the risk of two Democrats getting in, and there needs to be a Republican voice and a viable Republican candidate. And he says he is that candidate.
Mm. You know, before I let you go, you bring up a good point. You know, I forgot that Betty Yee was at least higher up on that party endorsement when she suspended her campaign, like during a press conference, you know, just a few days ago. You know, she said something that I guess basically that experience and competency doesn't matter in this race. I guess, what do you make of that? I mean, she seemed, you know, just very like kind of emotional and also pretty candid when she suspended her campaign.
Yeah, you know, I'd interviewed her probably about 45 minutes before she decided to make that announcement. And all along she was saying, you know, I don't have the money. You know, I know I don't have, I'm not a billionaire, but I know government. I've been around and I can be the adult in the room. And that's just not where voters are right now. I mean, you mentioned at the top of our conversation, everything that's happening nationally, it's almost like all of our elections have become nationalized in a way. And, you know, the most bombastic or known candidate is able to just gain a lot of traction. And you saw that with Eric Swalwell and a lot of the reporting that's come out by the New York Times, the LA Times, even Politico, with sources saying that, you know, he did not grasp policy. He didn't really know anything about Sacramento, but he was a fixture on Fox News. He was, you know, a former impeachment manager. And he was like, I'm going to go after Donald Trump. And voters were like, sounds good to me. And so the way we look at candidates in terms of voters has changed, because if you look at resumes, I mean, he was talking to strategists not that long ago, a couple of days ago, and this person told me, you know, I didn't think anyone was more qualified than Toni Atkins to be governor. She should have stayed in the race and not suspended her campaign so early, because look what's happened.
Nikki, thank you so much.
Of course, Vicki. Thanks so much for inviting me to be on your show.
Nikki Lorenzo is an anchor at Fox 40 and the host of Inside California Politics. She moderated last night's gubernatorial debate alongside KTLA anchor Frank Buckley. Up next, the ongoing Iran war has sparked strong emotions across the diaspora. We'll check in with a local Iranian-born member of the Baha'i faith and how she's focusing on human rights as the war approaches 2 months. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.